discussing how contractors can finish strong and finish well when they decide to exit their business. This is the Contractor Succession Podcast.
Welcome to the Contractor Succession Podcast. We will be discussing how contractors can finish strong and finish well after they decide to exit their business. I'm Marty Wolf, and my partner, Scott Good, in Contractor Succession, cannot join us today. He is literally out of the country, but in his stead, I have a special guest with me, and that is Dave Bookbinder. Hi, Dave. How are you, sir?
Hey, Marty, I'm great. Thanks for having me on. And hey, thanks to Scott for being out of town.
Yeah. Like he said, well, you guys don't need me. I'll probably talk too much anyhow. So I shouldn't have said that about my partner, Scott, right?
Nobody will know.
Well, yes, they will know, because this is pretty popular. So Dave Bookbinder, we're going to be talking about valuation today, and he is eminently qualified to do that. So a brief introduction. Dave is an accredited senior appraiser in business valuation with the American Society of Appraisals. He also holds the designation of certified in entity and intangible valuation. Dave is also the author of a best-selling book about the impact of human capital on the valuation of a business enterprise. And the book is called The New ROI, Return on Individuals. It is a great book. He's been on my other shows. So, Dave, again, welcome to Contractor Succession Podcast. But before we go too much further, you also have a podcast. So let's plug that right at the beginning.
Yeah, sure. Thanks very much. For your listeners who are interested in learning a little bit more in the broader sense of business, the show's called Behind the Numbers, and kind of a springboard from the concept of the new ROI, Return on Individuals. The idea is that business is usually typically measured by performance, numbers on spreadsheets, numbers on financial statements. Certainly in my world, in valuation, it's all about numbers, but I think any savvy leader understands that there's usually more to the story than the numbers, and when we go behind the numbers with my guests, we try to understand what really matters most in business. So it's available everywhere you can find your podcasts.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Excellent. Okay. So, as you know, Contractor Succession is working with folks who are considering and sometimes in the process of exiting their businesses. If not the first, but the top three questions they ask is, well, what's my business worth? And as you know, Dave, that's a difficult question. So maybe I'll throw it out to say, maybe give us a high-level view of kind of answer that as best you can. And then we want to get into different things like family dynamics, and we should know our numbers and that kinds of things. So maybe kind of give me an overall response to that. When somebody says to us, how much is my business worth? What should I say to them?
It's a great question. And it's funny because it's one of the questions that, as a evaluation consultant, you can imagine I get most frequently. I actually wrote an article about that called What is My Business Worth? And the short answer is it depends. And it really does, because there's a whole host of variables that go into determining the value of a business. It's not hard and fast. Yes, there's math. Yes, there's protocol and processes in terms of determining proper valuation. But there's a whole host of things that go into what ultimately determines a value of a business, Marty.
I deal a lot with family businesses. I believe you do too. So, as you know, there is often some family dynamics when we look at a business. So talk to me about your experience and just the general topic of family dynamics when looking at the value of a business.
Yeah, sure. So at its core, valuation is a balancing act of risk and reward, and it's forward-looking. So in other words, what you've done historically is great, and you can't ignore that. It's certainly an important part of the story. But when people are looking at buying a business, they want to understand that if it's been good performance in the past, that there's some reasonable certainty that it's going to continue going forward. They're buying future cash flows. That's the expectation. Mm-hmm. And they're buying it at today's dollars, and implicit in that is some discounting mechanism that they're using to bring those future dollars back to today's value. Mm-hmm. So that discounting mechanism really is a function of risk. So and if I can leave your audience with one big thing today, the most important thing to think about is de-risking the business, anything that's going to de-risk the business. So when you think about family dynamics, for example, there's a couple of things that we see a lot. One would be in terms of the business's ability to actually perform, we'll call it the reporting functions, whether it's accounting or sales or things like that. Maybe your sister isn't necessarily an accountant, but she's on the payroll and she's doing a nice job with QuickBooks. That may or may not be enough to actually tell the proper story with the numbers. And sometimes your brother-in-law, although he's a really good guy and fun to watch football with, may not be the best leader of a sales team. Things like that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've both seen that, haven't we?
Yeah.
So you mentioned numbers. Valuing the business has an awful lot to do with numbers. But in our notes, I wrote down know your numbers. Let's go a little deeper on that. What do you mean from your perspective and know your numbers?
Well, if you ever watch Shark Tank, it's a good example. It's kind of a microcosm for how entrepreneurs get grilled by investors. Yes, it's TV, and yes, it's extreme. But when the sharks start to put the contestants through the ringer about knowing their numbers, that really speaks to a business owner's understanding of the business. And unfortunately, a lot of times, business owners get into business because they're really good at a craft, or I've seen in cases where people, for example, in the bar business, they like they like visiting a local establishment and think that they can do it too. And Bar Rescue is another show about that. But focusing on the topic at hand here, it's really imperative that they, number one, understand what the numbers mean. A lot of times, these very good entrepreneurs who are skilled craftsmen, good at their contracting positions, don't necessarily know the blocking and tackling pieces. With respect to even just timely billing or scheduling, or if anybody has been on the other end of a contractor phone call, just returning a phone call, right? But with regard to knowing your numbers, what have your sales been? What's driving your sales? What's likely to impact your sales going forward? What's involved in your profitability? So do you have people on your payroll, perhaps, that aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing? Maybe they're family members who don't show up all the time, but they're on your payroll anyway. I mean, it's great if you're supporting a family business, but when you're thinking about actually selling your business, these are all the disclosures that buyers are going to see.
So in the HVAC business, where Scott and I spend a bulk of our time, we're in other industries, but that's pretty much where we spend a bulk of our time. The idea of recurring income is a really important factor. Is that something they should be looking at and you would look at as a valuation expert?
Yeah, sure. So you're alluding to a couple things. First and foremost, you just alluded to a point that helps to de-risk the business. So recurring revenue, customer stickiness, good financials, good processes and procedures, good reputation, those are all things that are speaking to de-risking your business. So that's definitely good. But before we got on the call here, I spent just a quick minute on a database that we have and pulled just a couple of multiples in your particular space for the HVAC and just the adjacent spaces of contractors in general. So recent transactions from the last 5 years, and there's a pretty wide range of multiples. And I'm looking at a low revenue multiple, for example, of about 0.12 times to a high of 1.5 times. EBITDA multiples have an even bigger range, from just about 1.5 to like 17. When you get to median and average, they tend to converge a little bit. But the point of me sharing this data, Marty, is that when you start to think about selling your business and likely achieving a certain multiple, when you see that there's these different ranges, who gets the good ones? Who gets the ones at the lower end? And the sellers that are receiving the multiples at the higher end are doing the right things that, as I said, help de-risk their business in the perspective of the buyer.
How important is the management team in this when someone's looking at a business? You mentioned my brother-in-law and my sister. Is that looked at also? And how important is that?
Yeah, management is definitely important. That speaks to the credibility of the business itself. You may have a great business, but if the leadership team doesn't present well and doesn't know their numbers, doesn't do all the right things in a diligence process, it's definitely going to taint the reputation to, to a certain degree, which again adds more risk into the business. There's going to be circumstances where a buyer is going to want owners and or sellers to stick around. Maybe they're going to be a part of a transition program. And maybe, in fact, they're their compensation for the purchase consideration doesn't actually come, you know, cash on the barrelhead. Maybe it comes over time in the form of earnouts.
Mm-hmm.
So those are going to be performance-based, and management's going to have to stick around for some period of time. So, yeah, buyers definitely look at that.
So let's just pause for a minute. I am speaking with Dave Bookbinder, and he is a valuation expert. Tell us the company you work for. Tell us a little bit about that company, and then tell us how we can reach you, Dave.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for that. So I'm a senior director at CFGI, and we're an accounting advisory firm, and we help our companies, our client companies, with their most important accounting and finance matters. I'm in their valuation practice, as you mentioned, where I'm helping companies of all sizes with matters pertaining to valuation, valuing businesses, intellectual property, and also complex securities. You can reach me on social. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. And not sure that I'm on the company website, but you can certainly poke around at cfgi.com as well.
Well, we want to find you on LinkedIn. And it is Bookbinder, and I think it's Dave on LinkedIn, not David, but I think it's on all of them. Is it not, Dave?
It's Dave Bookbinder. Yeah, there's a David Bookbinder who's a psychologist or something who you don't want to connect with unless you're interested in a different subject.
Well, unless the selling process really goes bad, then you might need the other David
Bookbinder. I'm not disparaging that person. He's a wonderful individual, I'm certain. I'm just I want to be really clear on that. So I don't get
yes.
Sued.
Okay, we want Dave Bookbinder.
But yeah, Dave, not David.
And again, I want to promote his book. It's great. All business owners should read it. It is titled The New ROI, Return on Individuals. So it's a great book. Okay, so Scott and I at Contractor Succession will get phone calls ranging from call me immediately, I have to sell my business, to I'm thinking about selling my businesses in the next 3 to 5 years. So I guess maybe selling is a process. Give me a little more, give me your viewpoints on that. Sell immediately, sell 5 years down the road. What's your general thoughts, Dave?
Yeah, well, that's another great question. It was funny because I wrote that one article I just alluded to about what's my business worth and what I'm calling the sister article pretty much at the same time with the same intention. And that other article, a little bit more long-winded, thinking of selling your business, here's five things you need and one you don't. And ironically, in that scenario, the one you don't necessarily was evaluation. And it's a story that is a microcosm of a conversation that I have almost weekly, where in this particular example, I was visiting with an entrepreneur, had a very successful business, and really was at a spot where he was in that oh-no moment where he needed to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And couldn't wait to get started. In his view, valuation was the most important thing. And before he even handed me the cup of coffee and before I even sat down in the conference room, he was ready to get started. He wanted to know, what's it going to cost? When can you do it? I don't even care what it costs. Let's get rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent the next 2 hours having a conversation with him, helping him to understand why in that moment, evaluation wasn't necessarily the right thing for him.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about selling being a process, and look, life happens, and sometimes someone passes away, someone becomes ill, and businesses have to react, and they've got to sell in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have the luxury of time, I can't emphasize it enough that selling is a process. It's not an event. And you want to take your time and be strategic and build the right team around you and get your ducks lined up so that when you actually go into the market for sale, you have your best foot forward and you're really ready for what day one is going to look like after the sale.
Mm.
And when I talk about building a team, it's not just hiring the right investment banker or business broker or valuation person. Having the right accountant, as we alluded to, you know, SIS may not be that person. Having the right attorney. You know, the personal injury attorney is probably not the right person to structure an M&A agreement for you.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, even when we talk about, you know, day one after transaction, if you're not working with a wealth advisor, maybe you should be, because you've got to figure out how to manage the proceeds of this transaction. And ideally, you'd like it to last and maybe create a legacy for the family.
So many variations. Yes, the appropriate accountant and CPA and attorney are critically important. We've seen that in some cases. Actually, we've suggested that they change CPAs and attorneys. You know, we've suggested that based on our limited knowledge of what we're doing. Although it's become less limited because we have we've done quite a few HVAC deals. They're looking at selling in the longer term. Is it an unfair question to ask about is there such a thing as valuation methods? Or, you know, what do you really mean? What do you mean when I ask you valuation methods? Is there an answer to that?
Yeah, that's not an unfair question. And here's two really popular valuation methods that I think your audience is probably very, very familiar with. One is what we call the back of the envelope method, and the other one is called the back of the napkin method. Neither one are real methods, and neither one are effective.
Okay.
But unfortunately, there's a lot of that goes on.
Sure.
There's definitely methods. And one way to describe one of the valuation methods is an analogy that I like to use with regard to the real estate space. It's a market-based approach. And if you've ever bought or sold a home, a lot of this will make really intuitive sense. So if you're thinking of selling your house, for example, the first thing you do is you call your realtor and you ask them to identify a group of comps, right? What have other homes sold for in the neighborhood? And then the realtor will identify recent transactions, make adjustments for differences between your house and the other houses that have sold, and then give you an idea on where you should price your house. Well, that's called a market-based approach, and the same thing is true in business valuation. And we come at it from two lenses. One is very much identical to that, where we look at recent transactions, and that would be those multiple ranges that I alluded to earlier in our conversation here. Mm-hmm. Same thing. What have other businesses sold for? What were their valuation metrics? And then do a deeper dive to understand how to think about those sale transactions relative to the subject company to make the appropriate adjustments. Another way to think about it, and it depends on the size of the business, Marty, because yes, size does matter.
Right.
A larger business allows us more tools to think about a broader peer group, because publicly traded businesses trade at implied valuation multiples. So to the extent that we're working with a subject company that lends itself to that particular approach, we can divine multiples from publicly traded companies and then make the other adjustment. There's one other method I do want to talk about very, very quickly. I alluded to it at the front of the conversation. It's an income-based method, and I don't want people's eyes to glaze over. But again, the key here is valuation is forward-looking. And it's really good that you have good performance that's historic and documentable and so forth. But the real question remains, what does the future look like?
Mm.
So if you're able to put together a forecast that really depicts what the future looks like with reasonable underpinning assumptions, in other words, no hockey stick forecast, we all know what that looks like, right?
Right.
And then make those assessments of risk and bring that future benefit stream back to today's dollars. That's yet another way to think about valuation. So yeah, there are classic and traditional valuation methods that should be utilized in any analysis.
What you said earlier, and I've circled it twice, is de-risking the business. That's really stuck in my head. So if you need to make changes as you're going forward, as you're starting this process, and it is a process, right, David? I mean, this can be weeks, months, possibly years going through the process, right? I mean, very rarely, unless there's an event like a death or something like that you've mentioned earlier, this is typically somewhat of a longer-term process. Am I correct there?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, I think it's probably a 2 to 3 year process because there's a psychological component here too, and that is my friends who are in the investment banking space tell me this all the time, that when they're representing companies for sale, the biggest challenge in getting somebody to actually pull the trigger on selling the business is their fear of what are they going to do after they sell the business. They have no idea. Their spouse doesn't want them hanging around the house all day long, so maybe they stay with the business too long, even though they don't want to be a part of it any longer. So yeah, the more time you have, the more runway, the more you can have meaningful conversations with the appropriate team that's going to help you get a deal done, get you the best execution, because valuation is only a part of monetizing the business.
Yep.
It's great to put a number on the business, and it's great to achieve that number, but a lot of times you don't always get that number, like I said, as cash on the come.
Yeah.
And it's a function of the future performance of the business.
Yeah.
Structure is almost as important, if not more so, than valuation.
I also thought about timing, David, as you were speaking. I mean, things are pretty good economically right now. And I guess none of us have a crystal ball, but I guess we could kind of look out. The HVAC industry is pretty strong, David, from our perspective. So, you know,
yeah.
I mean, now and probably in the near future, it's probably pretty solid. It'd be my guess. Do you have any opinion on that? Not that I'm asking you to forecast anything, but timing is important, right?
I've got a crystal ball, as you do. and I do have new batteries in mind, but I will tell you that I'm not one that's a market timer. I would say if your indicators are telling you that the space is hot right now, anybody who's on the fence would probably be wise to consider it. Again, given the fact that it's a process typically and it takes time and getting through the inertia and getting one's ducks lined up, I think what happens is if you have the luxury of time and you're going to the market before you necessarily need to sell, if you're testing it and the numbers don't work out or the structures don't work out for whatever reason, you have the luxury of pulling it back and coming back again another time. So I think you can be opportunistic, but I don't think you necessarily have to jump off that cliff just because something may indicate that now may be the right time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that actually was very wise. You know, even if you're thinking about it now and you test it, if you will, and you go through that and you say, I'm a little uncomfortable with that. That doesn't work for me right now. But you could plan and work on, as you describe it, you know, look at it as the long runway. Improve as you go. Improve your numbers. Know your numbers so that you know how to improve them and put the management and the systems and the process in place so that you continually grow. And then you reevaluate a year or two down the road. So,
yeah, because underpinning all of that, Marty, if I can, just to summarize, underpinning all of that is good assets sell in good economies or not so good economies.
Uh-huh.
So if you've done everything right, your business is profitable, you've got your processes and procedures in place, you've de-risked the business, all other things equal, you're going to probably do well relative to somebody who hasn't done the same thing, regardless of when you go to market.
Amen. So you are listening to the Contractor Succession Podcast. My guest has been Dave Bookbinder. Dave, tell us again how we can connect with you.
Yep, thanks. You can find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. It's Dave Bookbinder, and I invite you to check out the podcast, Behind the Numbers, wherever you get your podcasts.
And I'm also suggesting that they buy your book, The New ROI, Return on Individuals. So, Dave Bookbinder, thank you so much for being our guest on the Contractor Succession Podcast.
Oh, my pleasure. Happy to. And thanks again, Scott, for being out of town.